What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. And today, I've got an important message for you. I've got an important topic of conversation that maybe you don't want to hear. Maybe you're going to tell me that I should stop talking about mindset-related things and just tell me what to eat, tell me what to do with my workouts, and send me on my way. If that's the way that you think, this podcast is probably not for you. I'm probably not for you. My style is probably not for you, because my belief is that brain and body are connected and we cannot separate the two. And if we're not assessing the things that are going on between our ears and that beautiful thing that we call a brain that is sometimes trying to sabotage us in the name of keeping us safe and secure and helping us survive, but it does feel like it's sabotaging us from reaching our goals oftentimes. If we don't assess and address those things, then we are really ignoring the fundamental piece to all of this. And that's really what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to dive into a concept that I think is absolutely fascinating. And I'm just going to tease it at that, because first I have to give you a little bit of a opportunity to win some supplements, because we do this thing where you leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts every week, and then I pick a winner, and the winner gets to win something like a supplement from one of our sponsors, from Cured or Organifi, or one of our pop supplements. The most popular picks so far have been the dopamine support that we make, the Cured Serenity gummies, which are my favorite, and the Organifi green juice. That has been so far the top three choices for the supplement winners, and they are fabulous choices. You really can't go wrong with either of those three products. It just depends on what your situation is, the way that you enter. And by the way, for those of you who are like, I never win anything, if you leave, we don't get that many reviews each week. So if I'm looking at the last week, I am picking between 1, 2, 3, 4 people. You have a 1 in 4 chance. That's just being transparent here. That's how many 5-star reviews were left in the last week. So if you just did this process, for those of you who are like, I never win anything, you literally have a 1 in 4 chance based off of last week's statistics. So all you have to do is go to your Apple Podcast app. You go to the search bar, even if you already subscribe to the show, go to the search bar, you type in Mind Over Macros, you click on the thumbnail, you scroll down until you see the rating and reviews, then you tap in to write a review, you submit the 5-star rating, and you're entered to win. For this week, the winner is RGL12345. That is the username. Here's what the review says. The title is life-changing. I came across the Mind Over Macros podcast when searching for inspiration in my health journey. Every episode was like a bullet straight to the heart, and I knew I had to join the pop family. If you're tired of diet culture, take it from someone who has been there. This program is worth the investment. Money comes and goes, but your health and happiness is forever. Beautiful review. Thank you so much. Email me. My email address is mike@peakoptimizationperformance.com, and I will get you all hooked up with the supplement of your choice. Again, if you say you never win anything, this is an opportunity where the odds are pretty well off in your favor. 1 out of 4 is not too bad when it comes to winning some stuff. Anyway, the other thing that I would ask you to do right now is to follow me on Instagram @coach_Mike_Milner, because if you enjoy the episode, take a screenshot and then post it to your stories and tag me so I know who's listening. I love to not only see who's listening to each episode, but also to get some direct feedback. I look at all the reviews, but I also read all of my direct messages. So if you send me a message on Instagram, if you ask me a question on Instagram, if you ask for a topic for me to discuss on the show, there is a very high probability that that will happen. I answer every single message. And if somebody gives me a recommendation or some feedback or something that they want to hear on the show, there's a good chance that I will listen because I want to be talking about the things that are relevant to you. Now, let's get into it. So today is a interesting day for me because I am officially starting my gut healing protocol. We had to go through a lot of testing. We had to do a lot of dot connecting. And it's finally day one of my elimination diet. And the reason that we're starting with an elimination diet is because I have so much shit going on. I talked about it with H. pylori, SIBO, so small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, a parasite, and some potential mold issues. So what that means is that I can basically eat nothing. No, it's not true. I can eat a lot of things that it's not too bad. But I want to bring awareness to the fact that if you're going to go down this path, because this is something that we are offering with POP, because we saw a lot of clients who were having hormonal issues, gut health issues, things that needed more of an advanced solution. Now, I am a big believer that most of your symptoms, most of your hormonal issues, most of your gut health issues, most of your metabolic issues can be solved with simple adjustments to your lifestyle, simple adjustments to nutrition, to training, and to lifestyle, meaning the habits and things that you're doing on a daily basis, like walking, like stress management, like sleep quality, things of that nature will resolve most of your hormonal, metabolic, and gut health issues. However, there are instances where we do have to take a more advanced approach. And this is something that we are integrating into our program because we want to be able to solve advanced problems, which we now have the ability to do. I'm going through it. I am in a situation where I can't just make, like, I already eat pretty well. I already train effectively. I already prioritize sleep. I already prioritize stress management. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not stressed. I am stressed. I have a high stress job and lifestyle. However, I still pay attention to those things. So I would say I'm pretty good at most of those things. If I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to get better. I'm not going to heal the gut health issues and the hormonal issues that I'm experiencing. It required more testing. It required more digging. And I'm telling you this because I want you to know what it all takes when you go that path. Because for a lot of you, it might not be worth some of the sacrifices. For me, I want to feel better. I want to be well. I want to be healthy. I want to live a long life. So for me, it's worth it to go through this temporary suck for the long-term gain, because there is a lot of shit that the testing showed that puts me in a compromised state hormonally and with my gut, and the connection between the gut and the brain and, you know, all the things that we are learning about gut health. It's still, there's a lot of emerging research, but it's still an integral part of how you feel and overall wellness and well-being. So I'm not taking any chances. I'm not just going to keep putting my head in the sand. I'm going in and we're fixing it. And step one for me is an elimination diet. I'm eating mostly a variety of vegetables. There are some that I am not eating, like nightshades and things like that, but a variety of vegetables and protein, mostly grass-fed beef, wild-caught salmon, free-range chicken and turkey, things like that. I'm not eating any dairy. I'm not eating any gluten. I am going to be off of coffee for a long time, which is due to the mold issue. Coffee, in my opinion, is not something that everybody needs to avoid, only in certain contexts. That's why I always say it depends. But there's my basic diet is going to be a lot of fruit, a lot of yams, and a lot of protein and veggies. And that's going to be 4 meals per day and 1 green smoothie. I'm not having any whey protein. I'm not having any dairy. So I'm going to be mostly using a beef protein powder, a bone broth protein powder, and potentially a like pea protein or something like that. But I'm mostly going to stick with the beef and the bone broth. So that's for the next 30 days. Oh, and no alcohol, which is going to really suck for me because I like to enjoy some cocktails. And that's it. We're off and running. Today's day one. And I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes. So one of the things that I really like, the main purpose of this episode is to really emphasize the ways that we limit ourselves and the ways that we limit our ability to accomplish our goals simply by the language that we use and the way that we communicate with ourselves. And I'm not even talking about the language that's like, I suck, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not able to be successful. Like, yes, of course, those are limiting beliefs. And if those are your, if those beliefs are at the core of your identity, it's going to be really difficult for you to accomplish anything without first addressing where those beliefs are coming from and challenging those beliefs and seeing if there's any evidence to support those beliefs and coming up with a new internal operating system. But I'm talking about something that most people don't even give it a second thought. Like, if you fundamentally believe that you are a worthless piece of shit, I don't think that I need to tell you and bring awareness about how that's not serving you. I think that there's already a high level of awareness that that's not serving you. Now, it's not as simple as just being like, okay, it's not serving me, so I'm going to change it. Changing your internal belief system is a process like anything else, but the first step in that process is always awareness. So I think that you still have a high level of awareness. If you're critical of yourself to that nature, to that extent, I don't think that anybody needs to tell you that that's not serving you. But there are subtleties that are keeping you stuck with the language that you're using. And this all came to be because I was listening to a podcast and I heard about a tribe in Namibia. The tribe is called the Himba tribe. And the Himba tribe in Namibia, they speak a language that does not have a word for the color blue. Their language has no word for the color blue. And in their language, they make no distinction between the color blue and the color green. So if you take an individual from the Himba tribe and you show them a blue circle and a green circle, they will see no difference. They visually cannot see or identify any difference between the two colors. In their language, the color blue does not exist. There is no word for that color. Now, you might say, they're wrong. But the wiser translation and interpretation is, what else does that tell us about the language that we use and how it dictates our beliefs and how our beliefs dictate our actions and our thoughts and our behaviors? Because this is all connected. Now, we ran this coaching scholarship and we gave away a year of free coaching to 3 people. And during that process, we collected a lot of applications. And as I read through every single application, there was hundreds of applications, and I read through every single application. And after I listened to this podcast and I learned about the Himba tribe, that because they don't have a word for the color blue and they can't distinguish between blue, like it's as if their language creates their reality. I started thinking about this in the context of other things that we've labeled, like, what would have happened if we never labeled different religions? We wouldn't have had mass wars and killings over religion. What would have happened if we never labeled political parties? What would have happened if we never like certain things that we provided the language, we gave the words, we gave the definition to these things that didn't exist at a certain point in time, like Republican versus Democrat, that didn't exist. It wasn't that long ago that it was created, right? In the grand scheme of things. And so we put these labels on them. And then all of a sudden, because we've added language to something with a label, now there's this division, and that belief system then determines a lot of our actions and behaviors. So I started thinking about it in the concept of other things that we've created, even things like borders and like where we divide land. Like it's all imaginary. It's all made up. But we all follow this system because, sure, there's some advantages to it. But what I really want to focus on is the power of language in determining our belief system, and then how our belief system determines our thoughts, feelings, actions, and behaviors. So when I was reading through all of these applications, this is when it all came full circle. This is when I had this aha light bulb moment, because I would read these normally these statements, I would just read them and I would have no real reaction to it. Like somebody saying in their application, nutrition is really hard for me. Normally I would be like, well, yeah, it's hard for everyone. Normally I'd just be like, yeah, totally. Nutrition is really hard for most people. But then I was like, hold on, that frame, that label makes it true. That language makes it true. Because if you say and believe nutrition is really hard for me, it will always be hard for you, because you've now placed yourself in this box of somebody who struggles with nutrition. And when that becomes your internal belief system, you will prove it right. You will prove it right, because we don't look at it like, what do you mean by that nutrition? Do you mean eating food? Because that's all that nutrition is. It's eating food. Is eating food hard for you? Or is there other internal beliefs that are associated with that statement? Like eating the right kinds of foods is really hard for me. But then we have to open up the line of questioning to what really determines the right kinds of food. Is it really hard for you? Because now if you're saying like, well, I eat really poor quality food, that sounds hard, because that impacts how you feel and that impacts your ability to live your best life and look the way that you want to look and feel the way that you want to feel and live longer. That sounds really hard. So what is it? Because if it's just overall nutrition, then are we talking about just eating food? If it's eating the right kinds of food, what does that even mean? And what's really hard? Like the label and the frame, I'm assuming, is like being consistent with a certain protocol is really hard for me. Is it the right protocol for you? Does it make you feel your best? Because if it did, then it probably wouldn't be hard. But the fact that you've now identified as somebody who struggles with nutrition, you're probably going to always prove that right. It's like when you see somebody who's successful and your immediate thought process is like, well, that's them. That could never be me. Now you're right. That could never be you, because you've identified it as such. You have used your language to create this box, this label, and you are placing yourself inside of it. You have now framed yourself in with four walls around you that you can't escape until you change that language. Hopefully that makes sense. Because if you're always pointing at like, oh, well, that's something that they can do. I see somebody else's progress. I see somebody else's results. I see somebody else's success. Well, that's something that they can do, not me. You're correct. You are correct, because you have labeled it as such. You have used your language to place yourself into a box that you cannot escape unless you change your language. You cannot escape unless you change your language, because your language will change your belief system. Your belief system will change your thoughts and feelings, and your thoughts and feelings will change your actions and behaviors. That's how it's all connected. Another thing that I found interesting when I was reading through applications, another phrase that normally I would be like, oh, this is amazing. I'm so happy for this person. I'm ready to get started because I'm really motivated to make a change. I would love to win this scholarship because I'm really motivated to make a change. Seems like a positive thing. Like, oh, it's amazing. This person is motivated to make a change. But what does that also do? That language and that phrasing also perpetuates the idea that you take action when you're motivated. And if you take action when you're motivated, what happens when you're unmotivated? You don't take action. So a lot of people will message me and I'll ask them, what's your biggest struggle? And they're like, motivation. Like, huh, interesting. Because that's not an actual struggle. That's a belief. That's not a real struggle. That's a belief. And if you continue to believe that you have to be motivated to make a change, then that's how you'll act, right? Your belief system will determine your behaviors. So if you're saying, I'm going to make this change now because I'm motivated to do it, you are enforcing that belief system. Motivation equals make a change. Not motivated equals do nothing. And then a lot of people are like, I don't know why I can't get out of this all or nothing cycle. Maybe let's identify the way that you're communicating with yourself and the language that you're using. Motivation is not necessary to take action. In fact, it's often a byproduct of taking action. Because if you say, I'm motivated to make a change, well, then why aren't you changing? Why aren't you changing? I'm really motivated to get started. Why haven't you started? If you were actually motivated, it would already be happening. You'd be changing, and the actions would lead to actual motivation. Because of how you feel, because of the results that you're seeing, because of the process. Again, you have to start with your language because that will give you clues into your belief system, your operating system. One of the best things that you can do for yourself is to journal these things and to actually write it down, because then it allows you to disconnect a little bit and kind of be more of the observer of your own perceptions and your own language. And when you do that, it's really powerful. It's really powerful in helping you to identify how your internal operating system is keeping you stuck. You'll start to write these things out and you'll be like, wait a minute. If I believe that to be true, I'm going to continue to seek out this belief. Like if you always believe that nothing works for you, which is another common one that I hear, then you will always seek that out to be true. Here's another one. I need to find something that's a lifestyle approach that I can stick with. Another common thing that I read during the application process. I really want to win this scholarship because I need to find something that's a lifestyle approach that I can stick with. Again, it seems positive, but here's where that language is tricky. You don't find a lifestyle approach that you can stick with. It's not out there, right? When you say, I need to find, it's like, I need to find happiness. No, you don't. Happiness is not out there. It's not some external thing that you find outside, out like I'm looking out the window. It's out there. We need to be looking in the mirror because it's in here. Happiness is created. It's internal. The lifestyle approach that you can stick with forever is internal. It cannot be found out there. It can only be created in here, meaning in you. The components that make up your lifestyle approach, the things that make you feel your best, cannot be found out there. It can be created. It can be built. When you invest in a quality coach, if they know what they're doing, they're not going to search for a way. They're not going to help you find a way of doing things. A quality coach will help you create the best way of doing things for you, which is why it always makes me laugh when people are like, well, I don't know if your program will work for me. What program? What's the program? It's not a program. It's not keto. It's not fasting. It's not macro tracking. It's not paleo. It's not carnivore. There's no program. There's no fucking program. What program are we talking about? It's creating for you as an individual. So when I hear that statement, I don't know if your program will work for me, then I just laugh and I'm like, so you're saying that the thing that works best for you won't work for you? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because it doesn't, if you actually understand that the lifestyle approach is not something that you're looking for, it's not out there, it's something that you create, it's something that you build, which also means that you have to be an active participant and not a passive recipient. And that's why anytime somebody's like, just tell me what to eat, tell me what to do, and I'll do it, that is a massive red flag. I had somebody the other day that messaged me and she's like, just to give you a heads up, I'm just looking for a meal plan and somebody to tell me what to eat. And I was like, cool, just a heads up. I'm not that guy. That's not how this works. Sorry, not to be a dick, but that's not how this works. If you keep thinking that there's some program, that there's some template, that there's some way of doing things, that doesn't involve you being an active participant, that doesn't involve understanding the unique ingredients that make you who you are, you're always going to be searching. You're always going to be searching for the next thing. And your internal operating system is going to lead you down that path of thinking that there's something out there that you can find and not something in here that you can create. I've tried so many things in the past, and I feel like nothing ever works for me. Great. Nothing ever will. Because you have created an internal belief system that tells you that you're broken, that tells you that you're not good enough, that tells you that you are a unicorn. If you use that language, what do you think you're going to pursue? Probably something that doesn't work for you. Again, that means that you're going to look for, oh, there's this keto program, there's this carnivore program, there's this new program that tells me to eat 800 calories a day, but nothing ever works for me. That won't work for you either, because you're still looking for something out there instead of looking internal. You have to build it. You have to create it. Imagine what else we could do with our language. Imagine how you could change your entire reality by changing the way that you communicate with yourself. A lot of people are like, well, what if I fail? Well, what if the definition of failure was a positive one? What if the definition of failure was about learning and adapting and growing and evolving? What if the definition of failure was not negative at all? Imagine how that would change your reality. Would you be afraid of failure, or would you embrace it? Would you have that moment where one day you overindulge and then you label it a failure? And because of your beliefs about what failure says about you as a person, then you spiral. What if that wasn't the internal operating system that you allowed to control you? What if you put different inputs in and allowed that to control you? What if you overindulged and you were like, this failure was a positive learning opportunity because I can identify why it happened and how to adjust in the future. And that gives me a massive advantage in being the successful person that I know that I am. And I know what I'm capable of. And I know that I can do this. And I know that I can create this lifestyle. Creating and building requires a lot of trial and error. So the perception of I overindulged, I'm a failure, can change to I overindulged because I am creating a lifestyle approach for myself. And that requires trial and error. I also know that over the course of this life that I'm living, I'm going to overindulge. So nothing abnormal actually happened. This was a normal part of the process. What if that was the language? What if that was the belief system that you utilized? think about how, again, I'm just going to be using some real examples from the applications. The way that you communicate about your goals says a lot, because a lot of times we'll say things like, I would do anything to make this happen. And I put everyone else's needs before mine, and I am finally ready to prioritize myself. Then why aren't you? If you would do anything to make this happen, why aren't you already? If you're ready to put yourself first, why isn't that already happening? Because we say these things and they're anticipatory by nature. I would do anything to make this happen. Not I am doing anything I can. Not I am prioritizing myself, but I'm ready to. I would do. You notice that subtle language difference? It's the anticipation of those things actually becoming true that feels really good. What a lot of people don't know about dopamine is more of an anticipatory neurotransmitter than it is anything else, because a lot of people think that dopamine gives you pleasure, that dopamine is the reward. And there's a sliver of truth to that, but what dopamine actually is the anticipation of pleasure, the anticipation of reward, which makes you do things to, because the perception is that if I do those things, then I will feel good. But you actually get the dopamine release from the anticipation. So just anticipating those things becoming true makes you feel good, but you didn't actually do anything about it. You just said it. I would do anything to make this happen. I'm ready to prioritize myself. Then why aren't you fucking doing it? You're anticipating it. If you would do anything to make it happen, then why haven't you looked at your budget and recaptured and reallocated $4 a day to invest in our coaching program and change your life forever? A guaranteed process. You would do anything, right? I would do anything except for that. What was that song? I think it was a Meat Loaf song. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. That's how it sounds. I would do anything to make it happen. Okay, cool. Go find $4 a day in your budget. Join our coaching program. We will help you build and create a lifestyle way of doing things that works for you forever. Oh, wait, I don't know if I can afford that. Oh, you can't find $4 a day? Well, I guess you aren't willing to do anything to make this happen. You want to anticipate doing anything to make this happen. Oh, you're ready to prioritize yourself? You're ready to put your needs first? Then why haven't you made this long-term commitment to achieving your goals? Why haven't you invested in a coach? Why haven't you invested in yourself? Because you're anticipating putting your needs first. You're not actually doing it. It feels good to anticipate those things as being true. It's a very different process to actually do it. Oh, I really can't wait to sleep better. Then why haven't you taken action? Why haven't you looked at your sleep routine? Why haven't you taken my advice and gone to Cured and picked up their Serenity gummies? Because that'll fix your sleep real quick. You want to work on your wind down routine? Get yourself some Serenity gummies. Watch how quickly that changes your brain when it's time to go to bed. Go to curednutrition.com. Go to their Serenity gummies. Use code POPFAM, POPFAM, at checkout. Get 20% off. If you're anticipating it being true, great. That's cool and all. It feels good. Comes with a dopamine release. Now go do it. Go do it. Go to curednutrition.com. Get their Serenity gummies. Try their Zen caps. You want to fix your sleep? Try their Zen caps. Get their Serenity gummies. You want to fix your anxiety? Get their CBD. Or you want to help with your anxiety? It's not going to cure it unless we get to the root of what's causing it. But you want to help? Get their broad spectrum CBD. curednutrition.com. Code POPFAM, POPFAM. It's great to anticipate. It's much better to actually do. I'm ready to, I want to, I'm going to, I would. What about I am? What about I am putting myself first? What about I am investing in myself? What about I am doing whatever it takes to make this happen? What about I am creating my lifestyle solution? What about I am committed to playing the long game? I am committed to figuring out what works best for me. I am hiring a coach because I know the importance of accountability and expert guidance. Your language will always be a reflection of your beliefs. Your beliefs will determine your actions and behaviors. But think about it this way. Your beliefs right now are simply a result of the things that you've allowed to enter your mind, the things that you've told yourself, the stories that have been percolating in there for a long time. But guess what? You can fill your mind with whatever you want. That is the beautiful thing about this whole process is we have so much autonomy and control. We get to control the inputs. We get to control what goes in our minds. So that means that we have control over our beliefs. And when we control our beliefs, we control our language, we control our actions, we control our behaviors. Another thing I heard on that podcast, every choice that you make, this was really, really profound. Every choice that you make is either a fear choice or a love choice. And I fully believe that to be true because we are survival creatures. So we make a lot of decisions out of fear. But we also want to procreate and we want to, and we're built for connection and community. And that is a base level human need. So we have that need for survival, but we also have that need for love and connection and fulfillment and community. So every single choice is either a fear choice or a love choice. When you continue to put yourself last and you put everybody else before you, that's a fear choice. When you wait until you're motivated to take action, that's a fear choice. When you say, I'm going to do this alone, that's a fear choice. When you invest in yourself, that's a love choice. When you commit and follow through on the promises that you make to yourself, that's a love choice. When you say, I need help, I'm getting help, that's a love choice. So make a decision. Is it fear or is it love? And that's the question to ask yourself when you're making those decisions. Is this a fear choice or is this a love choice? Am I doing this because I'm afraid? Which again, that's your primal survival instinct trying to keep you small and safe and exposed. You know, you're trying to avoid being exposed and avoid being vulnerable. But what if you expand? What if you open yourself up to a love choice that may feel scary? It may feel make you feel vulnerable, but you are built for more. You are built for connection and community. That is what you are built for. Every single blue zone where people live the longest, healthiest, happiest lives, there's only one consistency across the board. Only one. Their diets are all different. They have different, you know, the amount of alcohol they consume is different. The one consistency across the board is how they prioritize community, connection, relationships. Making love choices instead of fear choices will change everything. So make that decision for yourself. I hope this was helpful. I hope this resonated in some way. If it did, I would love to hear about it. And I will talk to you guys very soon.